Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Eddie Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And this morning, I have the privilege of having my beautiful, wonderful, confidant, loyal, faithful, achieving co-host, Minister Tabika Garnes. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Good morning, beloved. I am well. How are you?
I am well. Praise be unto God. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day.
Amen.
And it's always great when you are here with me on the radio.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. You were highly missed last week, and but
yes,
we still had a good show. I was listening to it. That's why I was late signing on.
Oh, okay. I'm like, beloved.
Look, when I finally got on, it said that I had 39 seconds for the radio show to begin. I totally lost track of time. But anyway, we're here. We are here. Praise be unto God. Praise
amen.
Be unto God. Amen, amen, amen. Well, good morning to the rest of our loved ones that are here with us, those that are with us every week. God bless you. God bless you. And good morning to Tamika Shelton. Love you much, beloved. God bless you. And to Lester and Joyce, God bless you. To Joyce in New York, Daniel, Minister Deacon Daniel Banks, to Prophetess Kim, Prophetess Dawn, God bless you. To Nikki Tu, God bless you. To Denise in Pennsylvania, Isaiah in Chicago, God bless you. And Rob in Pennsylvania, God bless you. Praise be unto God. I think I said Joyce in New York. I'm not sure. But if I didn't, God bless Joyce in New York. And then to all of the New Vision for Life members that come on and join us, God bless you. God bless you. I tell you, I just thank the Lord for each and every one of you. I thank you for, you know, your time being with us. I thank you for the encouraging words that we get via text, you know, to our personal numbers from those people, especially that I mentioned right now, because we have more than just a radio show relationship. You know, God has blessed me that that these are people that also have become an integral part of my life, and in the season that God has put them in my life, there was a reason for it. And I just want each and every one of you to know that I love you dearly, and I do thank the Lord for you being in my life and being here on the radio. At this time, I'm going to turn things over to Minister Garnes and let her say whatever it is she so desires to say, and then lead us in prayer. It's in your hands, beloved.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Well, I just want to say good morning to each and every one of you. Thank you so much again for joining us on this wonderful Saturday. And as I always say, you could be doing anything else. You could still be asleep. You could be outside, you know, for your morning walk or run, you know, whatever it is that you desire to do on a Saturday. But you take time out and you join us, and we greatly appreciate that. We greatly appreciate that. So, again, thank you so much. We just want to give God glory for this platform and everything that he is doing in us, in you, and through this show. So to God be the glory. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to your marvelous name, for there is none like you, Father God. Lord, we just thank you for another day. We thank you, Lord God, for waking us up. We thank you for protecting us throughout the night. We thank you, Father God, for dispatching our angels on our behalf to watch over us, to be in the four corners of wherever you were. And, Lord, we just give you praise. We just give you praise, oh, God. We give you praise. There is just so much that is going on right now in the world, things that are going on in our families, things that may be going on with us. But, Father, despite all of that, we still give you praise because we know that you are greater. We know, Father God, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, which is Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, have your way on the line today. Have your way in the lives of your people. Show them that they are not forgotten. Let them know that you hear the prayers. And I pray that you would touch the hearts of those that are hurting right now for whatever reason, Lord God. Give them the motivation to want to live in the name of Jesus, God. Breathe new life into them now. Minister to them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Touch their heart like never before in the name of Jesus. Cause those suicidal voices to cease and desist in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and we bless you because we know, Father God, that when the enemy thinks that he has gotten over on us or he has won up us, that we call on the name of Jesus. And you come to see about your children. Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for who you created us to be. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for the peace that surpasses all understanding. And, Lord, that means that even though we may not understand, your peace, God, will give us your peace will give us what we need to continue to move forward, to continue to live, to continue just to trust in you. Even when we don't see things happening, in the name of Jesus, we shall trust in you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We have no choice because we are nothing without you. We can't do anything without you. We need you, Father God. We need you because you are our strength. You are our joy. You are our love. You are our healer. You are our deliverer. You are everything that we need, and we give you praise, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, for just how you make a way for us. We thank you, Lord, for being a way maker, just being our provider, being everything, Lord God, that we need you to be in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, oh God. So we just continue to give you praise. We continue to honor you, Lord God. We continue to thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We place our trust in you and leave it there. We don't have to keep turning from right to left and keep looking back. And, Father God, we just have to give you whatever it is that we are going through, whatever issues arise, whatever we're praying for. We just need to give it to you and trust that you are going to make a way in the name of Jesus because you are our leader, you are our God. And we praise your holy name, Father. And I thank you for Apostle Banks, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for the heart that she has for the people in the name of Jesus, the heart that she has for those, Lord God, that are going through, Lord God, those that have been misunderstood, those, Lord God, that don't really know the depth of who you are, Father God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for just the way that you have groomed her, the way that you have created her, the way that you have poured into her, Father God. I just thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. I thank you, Father God, for all the things that you have in store for Apostle Banks in the name of Jesus, oh God, things that she would have never imagined that she would be a part of, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that she is included and she is chosen in the name of Jesus, oh God. So, Lord, I just pray your strength that will guide her and keep her, Father, in the name of Jesus. When the wind is blowing really hard and when the storms come and when the waves, Lord God, seem like they want to take her out, Lord God, that your strength will keep her in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we love you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Excuse me. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Oh, I tell you, beloved, again, I do thank God for you. I thank God for the day. I thank God for the ability to pray the way that you pray. And it's always a blessing to me, always a blessing to me.
Amen.
Well, Saints, for those of you who weren't here last week, we talked about prophecy and the office of the prophet. And I still want to continue in that vein this week. I do encourage you to please go back into our archives and listen to last week's show. It was very good. The discussion that I had with the woman of God, with Denise, the discussion that I had with her about her hearing from God at a young age, as a child, how she heard from God, and she would hold conversations with the Lord. And it was such a blessing to hear, you know, what she had to say. And there are many of us in our walk that we have, because of the fact that our motivational gift is what's placed in us at conception, which motivates us to do the things that we do, to do the things that we do that would connect to our calling that God has on our life. Give you an idea of what I'm talking about. We talked about prophecy last week and prophecy and the prophet. So at the young age of 5, 6, when Prophet Denise was hearing God speaking to her, as a little child, she didn't know that it was God, but she heard these voices, excuse me, she heard these voices, these thoughts that she had, and she answered them. She answered them. Now, at that age, very few people would have told her, or very few people would even have known that she had a prophetic calling on her life, yet that's what was happening. Now, also, so that was dealing with the prophet. But now somebody that has the gift, the motivational gift of serving, that person would, that as a child, that person will always want to help out, whether it's in the kitchen, whether it's around the house, whether it's in school. You know, they become the teacher's pet. They want to help other people all the time. They want to help other children as children. This is their motivational gift. This is what makes them tick. And little do they know that from that motivational gift, as they grow older, they will end up and can end up walking in any one of the five offices in the fivefold ministry, walking in that arena. Little do they know that when they become a chef or a mechanic or a teacher, well, it's not so much a teacher, that would be a teaching gift, a nurse and doctor, you know, these are service, police officer, fireman, these are service occupations. So you will not only find a place in the fivefold ministry if God is calling you to be in the fivefold ministry. However, there are your occupation and careers that are based on your motivational gift, that are totally based on your motivational gift. This is the gift that was put in you at conception. Now, once you get saved and you get filled with the Holy Spirit now truly is giving you the power, you know, to walk in the realm that God has called you to walk in. There is that gift that is given to us at birth, the motivational gift that's given to us at conception. But then there is the infilling of the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation, that you now will receive power and authority to be who it is God has called you to be. And that's vitally important for us to know. The scripture in raising up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's older, he will not depart from that. I know I've said this before on this line because of the fact that I've talked about our spiritual gifting on this line. That scripture is one of the most important scriptures to me when I'm dealing with spiritual gifts. Raise up a child in the way that they should go. And when they're older, they won't depart from it. A lot of people believe that that is strictly talking about raising them up in the Word of God, raising them up so that they would know the Lord and would cooperate with the Lord. And when they are older, they will not depart from it. And now, hear me, please. Please hear me when I say this. The reason why, no, okay. When I read that scripture, I thought the same thing everybody thought. You know, that you raise a child up in the Bible, you raise them up to have the fear and reverence of God, and when he's older, he won't depart. Okay. As I grew up, I knew that that was not what that meant. And why do I say that? It meant it because of the fact that how many of us were raised in Christian households? There are those of us that were even PKs, pastors' kids. We were raised in the Word of God and so forth. And how many of us left that and went on and did whatever it was we wanted to do? You know, we went the way of the world. We didn't stay walking in that manner. Now, let me help you again with this. We left, we departed from the Word, but the Word did not depart from us. So I want to make that clear. The Word did not depart from us, but we departed. We separated ourselves. We satisfied our flesh, and I'm not talking about sex. Whatever it was we wanted to do as teenagers, as college-age children, as young adults, whatever you did before you got saved, if it was not lining up with the Word of God, you departed from the Word of God. Now, with your motivational gift, when I look at that scripture and I apply the motivational gift, raise up a child in the way that they should go. And when they're older, they will not depart from it. To me, looking at the motivational gift, this is what motivates you to even be the person that you are to become. You hear me? This motivates you to be the person that you are to become. And if we as parents identify those gifts in our children, we give them every tool that they need to be who it is God has called them to be. And when they get older, they won't depart from that because that is what is in them. That is what is in them. They can't seem to depart from it, even though they may get into a different occupation, whatever the case may be, they come back to what in them. That part of them, it can't leave. It can't leave. It doesn't leave. So an idea here is you have a son, and his motivational gift is one of service and so forth, and service and helps, that is his motivational gift. And he likes to cook. He likes to cook. He stays in the kitchen with his mother, watching her cook, asking, can he help cook, and so forth and so on. The father gets upset because the father is Mr. Athlete himself. He was the captain of the football team. He played football in college. His desire was to be with the NFL, but he never made it. So here he has this son, and he desires for his son to be a football player. So as a child, he puts his son in football camps, and the son, you know, gets trained to play football and so forth. But the kid's desire, really, instead of going to football practice, he wants to be home with his mother, helping make dinner. And daddy is not too happy about that. He's not thrilled about that at all. You know, I don't want my boy to be soft. You know, no. Come out of the kitchen and play football. Well, saints of God, dad is putting on his son his dreams, his hopes, his wishes, his desire, his perception of what makes a boy a man, and that it's more manly for him to play football than it is for him to be in the kitchen cooking. And the child's desire is to cook. So mother, when the boy is home and daddy's not around, you know, mother teaches him everything that she can. She calls him in, son, come and help mom. You know, let's do this thing. And the boy is just as happy as he wants to be. So let's say that the kid goes on and he becomes a football player because that's what dad wanted, and he wants to please his father. He becomes a football player. He actually gets to the NFL, makes millions of dollars. You know, years ago, they were making hundreds of thousands of dollars, but now they're making millions of dollars. And after a while, he decides, I'm going to quit this. You know, yes, I did it. Yes, I'm good at it. Yes, I made a lot of money doing this. However, I'm going to open a restaurant. I'm going to go to culinary school first. I'm going to open a restaurant, and so forth and so on, because that's what was in him. That's what was in him. And if he had been given the tools and encouraged, you know, as a child, he would have had that restaurant a long time ago. Or maybe he doesn't want a restaurant. He just wants to be a master chef. That's what he wants to be. That was in him. And that was identified, at least, of his cooking ability as a child, because it's there. It is there. So I'm hoping that you get the understanding that when we raise up our children in the manner that they should go, let's identify what it is that they are longing to do, that they're motivated to do. You know, if your little boy wants to be a scientist, buy him all of those lab, your son or daughter, buy them those kits that you get for a child to start doing experiments and so forth and so on. If you see your child has a serious interest in whatever it is, give them tools, stroke that thing, because that may be the core of who God has anointed him to be. Okay, beloved, this is Apostle Etta Banks along with her host, Tabika Garnes. Praise be unto God. And we are here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. If you so desire to make a comment, share in the conversation, please, by all means, press 1 on your keypad. Press 1 on your keypad and jump in, and we will talk with you. let me, Prophetess Kim, first of all, before I go, Tabika, did you have something to say?
No, ma'am, not yet.
Prophetess Kim, are you there, beloved? If you can, would you press 1 on your keypad? I think I see your number, but I'm not sure. Yes, I did see. Okay, yes. Okay, one moment, honey. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you all?
I'm blessed.
We're good.
I am blessed. Thank you unto God.
Good.
Let me, first of all, is what I'm saying, does it make any sense to you, what I'm saying?
It does. And I think as parents, if we're in the Lord and we know, we have to seek God for our children. And like you say, we have to, we direct them in the way that God wants them, you know, for the gifts God has put in them. And unfortunately, a lot of times we don't know, whatever the case may be.
Right.
I was not raised in church. Although when I look back over my childhood, I always had a prophetic gift. I didn't know it was a prophetic gift. It was just who I was.
Right.
But, you know, I definitely would agree with what you're saying. Even with my son, I remember God telling me early on when he was a young boy, he said, "That's your son, but you be careful how you treat him because he's my anointed." And he reminded me of the call on my son's life, that even though he's my son and even though I have to correct him, God admonished me to watch how I correct him and what I do with him because of what God had, you know, God's call on his life. So even at an early age, you know, I was clear that this is my son, but God's made it clear to me that's my child, and you watch how you treat him. So what you're saying is definitely, you know, correct. And even like you say, whatever God put in us, if we pray for our children, eventually it's going to manifest. They may, like you say, you may go your whole life doing something, but that gift that's within you is because there's a void when you are not walking in your assignment. There is a void in your life. And until you walk in that and fulfill God's purpose, like you say, the football player, no matter how much money you make, okay, that's great, but that's not what God put in me. So, hey, that's a gift of service. I'm going to go cook, whatever the case may be. So, yes, and even for myself, like I say, I was not raised in church. I was raised Catholic, which is very different. So there were things that I did not have or learn as a child. But the gifts were there. Like, I remember even at 3 years old, I would go to the basement and I would be on my knees praying and praying and praying, which is absolutely not normal for a child of 3 years old. You know, and that was not, that gift was not enhanced because my parents were not in Christ. But the gift was still there. So I don't know if that's kind of what you were asking me, but
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And I thank you for pointing out the fact that at the age of three, you know, at the age of three, you were praying. And again, we don't know as children, and of course, if your parents are not in the Lord, they don't know, you know, what it is that makes you do what you do. But that was that motivational gift within you. That's what God had placed in you. And even as a child, there are signs of it, you know, that comes out as a child. Knew that, look, I was 5 years old. Listen, I was 5 years old, and I had a love for the Lord. And I'm sure it was before five, but five is as far as I can remember right now. I had such a love for God. And how does a child, just like you're praying, how do we know who God is, right? But I knew that I loved God, and I was raised in church. and I knew that I loved God. However, at the age of 5, there were children older than me coming to me for advice. Now once you hear this, I'm 5 years old. I'm the oldest of 5 children. A mother is working. You know, I have to help raise the children, and I have other children, you know, 7, 9, 10 years old, talking to me and asking advice from me. I'm 5 years old. What do I know? And any word that I gave them, any advice that I gave them, had to have come from the Lord. So now here I am now. You know, of course, it didn't take me up to now to do this, but here I am now. I'm 70 years old, and guess what I'm still doing? People are still coming to me as a pastor, as a counselor. When I was working in corporate America, I was always the supervisor, as a recruiter, whatever, coming to me constantly seeking advice. And so I saw, you know, as I got older and understood some things, I saw the counselor in me. You know, and it was in me as a child. You know, it was in me as a child. Me being a pastor, no surprise, the nurturing that I have, nurturing the sheep, you know, taking care of, whatever the case may be, that was in me as a child. You know, so it is amazing that once we, you know, are growing and we're maturing in the Lord, we get to know things, we can look back on our lives and we can identify, my God, that was God back then. You know, that was Him in me. Oh, I'm telling you, it's amazing. I love it.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful, Apostle. And as you were even talking, another thing, two things actually, that one reminded me, even my mom, like I said, not knowing, she would always come and she would say, come on, okay, let's play a game now. She said, I'm going to think of a color, and I want you to tell me what color, what number, what this, what that. And I would tell her these things, and she would just smile because, like I say, I didn't know that was a gift from God. I just knew, and I would just tell her, oh, it's yellow, oh, number 8, oh, whatever. Now, the gift was not being used the right way, but it's still a gift from God.
Yes.
And so I didn't know these things until I came to know Christ at an older age. But for us as believers who have children while we are in Christ, we have an obligation to God to seek Him for our children, because the thing God dropped in my spirit as you were talking, the enemy studies our children, and the enemy knows and sees the gifts and talents. He may not know everything, but he sees, because he studied our family history. So we too have to study our family. We too have to study and see what God wants our children to be, and even for our own lives, because the enemy has a long track record. Just like a doctor has your medical history, the enemy studies us. So when they see something, the enemy would always want to take the giftings that God has planted in us and twist it and use it for his kingdom instead of the kingdom of God. So that scripture is very important that you said about training a child in the way they should go. Yes, we raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord, but we also have to say, okay, God, you said this one is going to be whatever they're going to be. And so we gear them in that way. We don't force things, but we prayerfully use wisdom, and we lead them in those ways. And even when you were saying, you know, I remember my mom sharing with me how wise I was and the things that I would say as a child that were not normal. I've always just had a gift of wisdom. And so, you know, the gifts are there. They're just, for me, they were not cultivated the right way until I came to know Christ and salvation and began to, you know, use them to the glory of God. So this thing is very important, you know, with gifting, so that we use things. Because if you really want to break this thing down, witches have the prophetic gift. They're just using
Absolutely.
It for the enemy.
Absolutely.
So, you know, our
Absolutely.
Gifts are our gifts, but it's
mm-hmm.
our job to raise our children and enhance those gifts for the glory of God, because that's why he gives
yeah.
us the gift.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you, woman of God, I just thank you for, you know, all these wonderful topics you come up with to the glory of God.
Amen, amen. Praise be
amen.
Unto God. Praise be unto God. I tell you. I thank God. I thank him, and I love him, as, you know, as we are seeing things in that. And this is why it is so important. I'm coming into the discipleship. This is why it is so important that we understand about us being disciples of the Lord God, and that we are to go forth and make disciples. The things that I come on this radio show and the minister Tabika, the things we come on here and teach, we have been discipled in a lot of these things. We come on and we teach it to you. You are being discipled in this. Then you go and you teach it to other people, and you're teaching people these things. And as we do that, and of course, a disciple is supposed to become like the teacher. Is that, you know, you get as much knowledge as you can. You walk in the wisdom of the knowledge that you have received, and so forth and so on. And it is so important that we share this information. Can you imagine now? Just what the banter that went back and forth here with me and Prophetess Kim. That knowledge that was just put out there, her testimony and so forth. How many of you that were on here said, oh, my gosh, you know, I can look back at my childhood and see thus and so and so. And see, in all of these years, you never thought about that was what was going on. But that's what was going on. And now that you understand that, now that you got a glimpse of that, you can go before the Lord. You can pray more. You can seek God's, the Holy Spirit leading and guiding, the Holy Spirit teaching you. You can look and taking courses that would help to enhance whatever it is that God has put in you, knowing you were not crazy. You were not crazy when you thought one thing and everybody else is thinking something else. And that's the way it is with so many prophets as children. Your thoughts are completely different than what your friends' thoughts are. You know, as a child, me counseling people. I remember when I was 13 years old. Lord Jesus, help me, Jesus. It had to be nothing but God. But I remember at the age of 13, a married couple coming to me for advice. What the heck do I know about marriage? What do I know about marital problems that go on and on? I don't know anything. My father died when I was 8, well, 7 days before I turned 9. So my mother was a single mother, a widow, single mother. There was no man in the house at that point in time and so forth. So I didn't see a marriage where I could say, well, you know, this is what I've seen with my mother and father, so this is what I could advise somebody else of. I didn't see all of that, but at 13, and the couple was in their 20s, they were in their 20s, and they came to me and shared their issues with me, and God gave me the words to say to them, the advice to give them at the age of 13 with a grown couple, married, got jobs, they didn't have any children, and so forth. And only as an adult in the ministry, and I mean, so maybe in my 30s, after getting involved with the motivational gifts and understanding them and taking training and so forth, only then was I able to look back and say, my God, you were operating through me then. You were operating through me then. It's exciting. It's exciting. And one of the members of my church, y'all have heard her speak before, Minister Sabrina, she is one of the people that got the teaching that I did on this. She got this thing so good, so down pat, that she went back home And she began to identify the things in her children. And I'm telling you, it made such a difference in how she raised her children. Do you know that we cannot raise, we have more than one child. We may give them both the same principles. Of course, especially if it's biblical, you're going to give them the same principles, their moral laws that you're going to give them that's going to be exactly the same. Those things are going to be the same. But do you know those two children are going to have two different personalities, two different needs, two different ways on how you're going to have to deal with them? And just like Minister Kim, a prophetess Kim said, the Lord said, you know, that's my son. And you be careful on how you raise him and what you teach him and so forth and so on. Each one of those children have a different need. And we try, people say, you know, like, you know, they try to apply a cookie cutter to every single one of the children. This is how you're going to be raised, and that's it. No. When Sabrina looked at the gifts, and she was able to identify in her one son, who was, he was a very black and white child. If things are right or they're wrong, there was no in-between. And as a child, he knew this. And so when he saw his mother or his father doing something or saying something that was not right, you know, he would address it as a child. And the dad thought that the boy was getting too fresh for his britches. And the mother, after taking the course that I was teaching, said, no, that is the prophet on him. That is the prophetic anointing on this child's life. For a prophet, you're right or wrong. It's black or white. There's no gray area. I don't want to hear all of your reasons on why you did it. You didn't do what the Word of God says you're supposed to do. And not necessarily at that age, knowing what the Word of God said, but the anointing in his life told him, that's not right. That is not right. Or a child that would question a parent's authority or things that they say and so forth. Be careful on how you deal with them. You must always teach them to respect. But however, you also must know or listen to the fact that you might be talking to a prophet of God. And there's a different way of dealing with the prophet of God than you dealing with the evangelist of God. You know, the prophet may want to stay in the house and stay by himself, want to read the Bible all the time. The evangelist wants to get out and be with the people, be with the other kids, want to be around others, want to tell them stories, and so forth and so on. So it is they're completely different. And I know I dealt with that with my children. We have a caller that wishes to say something. Good morning, beloved. How are you? Your last 4 digits. Pardon?
I'm good. The last 4 digits. Right.
Oh, bless the Lord. Jackie, how are you?
I'm wonderful. I just called to kudos you and Tabika. You're the second ministry today that I've heard talk about be careful how you handle your children, to pray for your children, to speak life over your children. So I just was calling to kudos your radio show and the topic that you have. It's awesome because our children really, really need the spiritual food and the wisdom nuggets that the Lord is speaking through you and another ministry I heard this morning. Our children really need us to speak life over them, to nurture the call. But I think maybe we may have forgotten to do that, but I thank God that he's using you to remind us how we speak to our children or to children, period.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Thank you so very much. And to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Yes, beloved, out of our mouth comes life or death. Every word we speak, we're speaking life or we're speaking death.
And I say for myself, I remember when I was 10, I would always help, always clean, always serve. And till today, when it comes to serving, I just love, and it's not for, it's just something about serving that I love. I love helping. And I've been doing that all my life since I was born, but I didn't know that it was being a servant of God.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm telling you, it's as we grow and as we mature and as we learn more and more about the Word of God and so forth, you'll find out that that's what it was from day one. That's what it was. And it's beautiful when we get that revelation. You know, it's beautiful to know that you're walking in what God designed you to walk in. It's such a freeing, revelation. Such a freeing revelation, you know, to God be the glory, to God be the glory. When I was thinking about my great-grandson while we were talking, and my daughter, his grandmother, you know, she has him in the morning, puts him on the bus for school and so forth and so on, and she taught him affirmations. And this child, well, he's 7 now, but he's been doing his affirmations since he was 4. And so he knows these affirmations. I am smart. I am intelligent. I will not be underestimated. I am a child of God. I am this. And he confesses these affirmations over himself daily. He confesses these. Now, mind you, now, and he has been diagnosed with ADD or ADHD. He's also has dyslexia, which, you know, makes it difficult for him to read and so forth and so on. So these are the labels that have been placed on him. However, still speaking the affirmation what God has called him and so forth. At 5 years old, the child told his grandmother he wanted to be a cardiologist. We had never talked to him about a cardiologist. Never had we spoken to him about that. And, you know, and it's not unusual to hear a child say, I want to be a doctor or I want to be a lawyer, I want to be a policeman, I want to be a fireman. You know, these are normally the common things you might hear a child say, you know, that they want to be. But for him at 5 years old to specifically say, I want to be a cardiologist, like we were blown away. Like, what do you know about a cardiologist? And then what got us is when my daughter asked him, how do you know you are going to be? He said, I'm going to be a cardiologist. How do you know you're going to be a cardiologist? At 5 years old, he said, because God told me I was.
That's awesome.
Totally, totally blown away. You hear me? And so now we try to supply all of the tools that he needs. We don't care that they say he's ADD and ADHD. We don't care that they say that he's dyslexic. We will find the tools we need to help him to read and to study and encourage him in his word. There were times when the child went to school because other kids could read in his class and he couldn't read. He felt stupid. He felt stupid. And the moment he would think that or say it out loud, I'm stupid, I can't read, his grandmother would say, what are you? And then he starts with his affirmation, I'm smart, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that. Sweetheart, we've got to speak life into our children. If not, you know, we will fulfill what the enemy says about them instead of what God is saying about them. If God has put this in this child's heart to be a cardiologist, and I'm not going to say that that's not going to change as time goes on. I know that's what he said, God said to him. I know that's what he desires. He's been speaking about it for 3 years now. That's what he wants to be, whatever the case may be. And however, he still plays with his dinosaurs, you know, he still likes to wrestle around. He's a gamer. He likes doing games on the computers. I don't know how you do that stuff, But, you know, he's got his tablet. He likes to do his gaming stuff and so forth and so on. But ask him what it is that he's going to be when he grows up. It's a cardiologist. And so we have to supply what we can supply to him, even at this young age, you know, to help him to nurture that dream, that vision. You know, get him the things of the skeleton bodies and show him the heart in it and let him see the veins with the blood running through it and all kinds of stuff. Things to keep him interested in what it is that he's saying God said he would be. Woo! Minister Tamika.
All I'm going to tell you is, Apostle Banks,
yes,
you are on it. All I'm going to tell you is, I can't wait to share your radio show from today with everyone that I know. You, it's like it's a missing vitamin that's needed for our children. The vitamin you all have is the vitamin from A to Z for our children or all children to be all that God called them to be. I just celebrate you, so thank you so very much.
Thank you, beloved. Thank you so very much for your time.
Amen. Apostle, if I might chime in again, it's amazing because God put these things in our children, like you said. Two things I want to share. The first thing is God reminded me about Moses, because if we were to fast forward Moses to today's time, Moses would have been written up and put in a special education class because he had a speech issue.
Yes.
So, but that speech issue didn't stop him from being the powerful leader and the prolific orator and intercessor that he was. So, you know, and these are things we have to remind our children of, when school systems, and I'm not disputing anything, but when school systems put labels on our kids, because I worked in the school system for many years, I've studied regular ed and special ed, and I know for a fact from statistically research base that 70% of the children in special education or with any kind of diagnosis are black male children.
Absolutely.
So I'm saying this to say, when we have this knowledge, we have to pray. And when we know better, we do better. So like now, I have a grandson who is 1 year old, and I'm already praying that the Lord will put him in the right school with the right teachers that will enhance whatever God wants. So see, we have to pray ahead of time and intervene on these things. But like you say, if he's telling you he's going to be a cardiologist, he's going to be a cardiologist. It doesn't matter about dyslexia or anything else, because God took a drunk Noah and used him mightily. God took a stammering Moses and used him to be a prolific leader. He took David off the backside in the woods. So, I mean, God uses those who are overlooked and those who people, society says can't be, won't be, and he makes them special. How do we know it? Because the Bible describes Jesus as not comely to look upon. He didn't look like the Messiah.
Right.
So, but as a, you know, and he was born, and I shared with someone the other day, I said, when we look at the birth of Jesus, he was born in a manger with dirty, stinking animals. So Jesus experienced trauma from the day he was born. The Messiah. That's trauma. We don't think about it as trauma, but that's trauma. But yet he was and is the Messiah. So we really have to take this thing seriously with our children, our grandchildren, our descendants, and even our own lives, that we're going to be who and what God said. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural. The word of God overrules and overrides everything else that the enemy would try to put in our place. Dyslexia, and it's not to minimize it, but that's just a distraction. If God said what he said, and he going to be what God said he's going to be, regardless of any diagnosis or anything, and that's for all of our children. We just got to, like you said, give him declarations, affirmations, confirmations every day, because the word of God is power. So amen. I'm going to stop right there, but I just want to, you know, share that.
Hello, Apostle Bunny, thank you. I just also want to say, if I can, that God says the plans that he has for your grandson is the prosper your grandson, future that God has for him. And then God says, what report are you going to believe? And I already know you all believe God's report, that he's healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. And then God blessed him with a grandmother, a great-grandmother, when it says a village that's going to speak life over him.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
He's going to be everything that God called him to be. And then look what God is pulling through you to make sure he walk out the call that's on his life.
Amen, amen. Minister Tabika, come forth, darling.
Yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. I just quickly wanted to say two things. So one thing is, it's very important that we do pour into our children, especially with the spiritual gifts, so that they will know who they are at an early age. Even if we feel like they don't understand it, it's still good to lay the foundation so that as they are progressing, and they will start to understand. Because there are so many things around our children these days that's pulling on their attention in the wrong direction. And so if they already know who they are at a young age and what God is saying, and even through us, the adults that are around them that are in Christ, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be the grandmother, the aunt, the uncle. You don't. If you are around any kids and you are in Christ, you have a responsibility to pour into them. And so there are things that are going to come against our kids, and if they don't know how to deal with these things, they're going to fall into the game of the enemy. They're going to fall into that pit. And I say that because the different cartoons now, the different games and stuff that are out there. You know, the Barbie movie came out, so it's been Barbie this and Barbie that and pink this and pink that. I haven't seen it, but I saw on Instagram where there's a Ouija board and it has Barbie on it. And so the trick of the enemy is now, because it has Barbie on it, it looks like a toy. And we know that it's not a toy. And so these are the things that are grabbing the attention of our children, and they will fall into that trap because to them it just looks like a toy. We don't know when they go over other people's houses, what they believe in, what they do at their house. And that's sometimes how our children are introduced to something, because they go over somebody's house and their children are playing with different things. And that's how our children get roped into these things, and that there are things that are going on with them, and we're trying to figure out what's going on, and we can't, like, figure out. So we have to be mindful of who we let our children be around, whose houses we let them go over. We have to know the background of these parents and what they believe in. And we need to know all of that before we allow our children to be around people. Now, if you are comfortable with somebody else's kids coming to your house, I would say let it be that way, because then you can monitor what's going on, because you know how you're raising your kid. You don't know how anybody else are raising their kids. So, it's very important for that. The other thing I wanted to share, talking about your grandson, my godson, is that when he was with us, he was telling us that God has given him these superpowers, and that he can see the future. And he saw where he was at the age of 10, he would have a little brother from his mom. So Mark and I were sitting there looking at each other like, oh, okay. So we let his grandmother and his mom know. His mom said, oh, I think he need to go back and pray because I think he got that wrong. But it was so amazing just hearing him talking and hearing him say, you know, like he has these superpowers that God has given him, and God has allowed him to see things, and God has allowed him to see the future. And it's just, you know, just being in the presence of a child with the Spirit of God upon, you know, that child is like the best, the best peace and presence of God that you could ever ask for. So, yeah, that's all I wanted to share.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much for sharing that. And just this is a freebie note to all of you, because everyone that I see on this line that I know personally, everyone that I see on this line, almost every single one of us are old enough to be grandparents, or saying that we have children at least, you know, 20 years old who could mother and father children. Of course, they can do it younger, but I'm saying at that age. There may be some of you who still have teenagers, but I want to encourage you, and I know this is kind of off the topic, but with something Tamika said, it reminded me of it. I want to encourage you to encourage your children, or if you are even still having children and you're on this line, to encourage yourself and your children as they're having children. This term of godparents, please pick your godparents carefully. These are parents that should be filled, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, teaching the Word of God to your child when they have that child. You don't pick just your best friend if your best friend is not saved to be a godparent just because they may have money and they could financially take care of your child. The word God in front of that parent thing to me is so vitally important, that if something happens to you as a parent or to your child as a parent, that these godparents will be responsible and raising children in the reverence and fear of God and the love of God and so forth. They have a spiritual maturity, spiritual growth, spiritual wealth that they're able to implant in your children. When these children are growing up and they become teenagers, their godparents are people that they should feel comfortable in going to and talking to and sharing, and you should feel comfortable knowing that if they went to their godparent, that that godparent is going to give godly advice, godly counsel. So, you know, and so it wasn't like my granddaughter, Dominique, who is the mother of my great-grandson. It wasn't like Dominique and Minister Tabika and Mark, it wasn't like they were best friends. And no, it had nothing to do with a friendship. Dominique met them at our church. She has watched their lives. She has watched how they serve the Lord. She has watched how the Garns minister to me. She has watched that. She has seen that. And she said, if there's anybody that I would want to have any say-so in my children's life, it's this couple. It's this couple. It had nothing to do with, yeah, girl, you know, we going out this weekend, yeah, girl, you know. It had nothing to do with that. She watched their lives and said, this is who I would desire to be the godparents of my child. And so I just ask y'all to be very, very careful about that, or who it is that you are giving authority to speak over your children. I know whenever Gabe is with the Garnses, they go, they have fun and so forth, but I know they cover this child in prayer. I know, you know, as she said, they're holding this conversation, you know, I know that, and this peace, knowing that your children are in the right hands. All right, beloved. Whew. Good conversation today. Good conversation. Thank you, Prophetess Kim. Thank you, Sister Jackie, soon to be Deacon Jackie, Deacon-elect. Thank you so very much for you sharing. Thank you for your input, Minister Tabika. Thank you. Thank you to all of our listeners. Praise be unto God. And always, always, we always tell you, you know, if there's something that you want us to talk about, you can let us know. However, we're forever before God, whether it's the day before, whether it's the morning of, whatever it is, to say, Lord, what do we share with your people? What do we share with your people? So we do thank you. We love you. We honor you. Be blessed and have an awesome, awesome day in the Lord. God bless. God bless you.
God bless.
God bless. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.